In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us quieten our hearts in prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Also, we have this morning been asked to say a wedding prayer announcement for Levi Siltala and Alexis Simonson. And their wedding is coming very rapidly on June 25th here at this church here in Cocado. The marriage is an incredible blessing. It's an incredible gift from God. And so we pray on their behalf. God, thou who has established marriage, bless this covenant. Grant this couple one-mindedness and love, and make their home a Christian home. Amen. It's a busy day today, Father's Day, and I believe following this service there's going to be discussion around our Lestadian Lutheran Church annual meeting. And so we'll pause just for a few moments this morning around God's Word, and we'll take the gospel text that's set aside for this Sunday, and that's found from the 6th chapter of Luke, and I'm going to read verses 36, 37, and 38, and these are in Jesus' name as follow. Be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. And forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Amen. Those of you who may have looked at the church calendar this morning may have noticed a theme or the title for this Sunday. And it's a very simple theme and title, two words. Boys and girls, two words. Have mercy. This text that we read here were words of the Lord Jesus himself. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful unto you. You know, when we think of the work of the Holy Spirit, what is the work of the Holy Spirit? I'm going to read just a short portion from where John records of the words of Jesus. What is the work and the duty of you, dear brothers and sisters, through the Holy Spirit? I'm going to just read a little bit before this verse that I was going to mention. I'm going to start in the 16th chapter of John from the 7th verse. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. These are the words of Jesus, remember, in that upper chamber on Maundy Thursday evening. And he continues here. He says, And when He has come, He is speaking of the Holy Spirit. He will reprove the world of sin. Admonish the world of sin. The duty of the Holy Spirit. Your duty. To remind one another lovingly and tenderly, very timidly, knowing how weak and frail we are. Your unbelieving loved ones, to approach them with timidness and with great love and mercy. And lovingly admonish. Not condemn, not judge, but with mercy. It's so simple. But the flesh is flesh, and oftentimes we, when we're talking, especially to those in unbelief, our flesh often would, sometimes, maybe not often, sometimes is harsh, to condemn and to judge. We don't know. God may have chosen them to be one of the chosen ones. To receive the gift of living faith and so on. And so it's important that rather than to condemn and to judge, we have, as we're reminded this, especially this Sunday, to have mercy. Even as God has been so merciful with us. In Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, he records unto us in the 6th chapter, if I find the 6th chapter, 14th verse, 14th and 15th. How does Jesus teach us? He says, "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father also will forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Indeed, it's so important that we have mercy, that we desire to forgive. Even when somebody has offended us so greatly that we have difficulty overcoming it with our flesh, Jesus teaches us to forgive. Even our enemies, those that would do evil unto us, persecute and maybe do bodily harm. That's the teaching of the Holy Scriptures of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Have mercy. Judge not, and he shall not be judged. Again, from the 12th chapter of John, Jesus, when he was teaching, many unbelievers this time present among with the believers, Even the chief rulers were present now when he was teaching. But this is what he said. He says, and these are the words of Jesus, and he says, "If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not." Jesus himself is saying that. If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. I think this is a very important lesson for us. Flesh is very judgmental. Flesh very quickly reaches to condemn, and yet we're taught to have mercy. But he continues, he says that, "He that rejected me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same will judge him in the last day." And that's why it's so important that we We don't condemn or judge because we don't know what will happen before the last day. But this we do know. Those who have been in unbelief, what has drawn them here into God's kingdom? It's been the grace and the mercy and the love of our Heavenly Father. They have been drawn in by the love of you, children of God. That's how simple it is. That's why we're reminded to have mercy. Don't condemn, don't judge. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. And then he gives an example here that he's speaking now of how we interact with one another here in God's kingdom and our unbelieving neighbors, our unbelieving loved ones. It's important, this teaching that Jesus gives here. He says, give and it shall be given unto you. And he says, in good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. So what does that mean? Well, we also have to go into the time and life of Jesus. And when he went to the marketplace and you bought some grain, a bushel of grain, an honest merchant would shake that bushel so everything would settle and he'd keep pouring through the bushel until it's flowing over. This is how we interact with one another. With great mercy and great charity. There's one of those favorite portions, and dear brothers and sisters, I have many of them in the Bible. But it's speaking of charity. Namely, it's speaking here of how important it is that, well, God has blessed us with everything that we have. Everything. There's nothing that we have that isn't given to us by God, our Heavenly Father, gifted unto us. Our skills and abilities, all the temporal goods that we have, our understanding, comprehension, wisdom, reason, everything is a gift of God. God has given everything. And so the heart of a child would want to give back to our Heavenly Father. That's the heart of a child. And it reminds us here, it says that, and it's speaking of giving, charitableness. It says here, I don't know if you have, it's the Apocrypha there, but it's from the Ecclesiasticus, 35th chapter, beginning from the 9th verse. It is in a finished Bible, in between the Old and New Testament. And it says here, in all thy gifts show a cheerful countenance. In all thy gifts that you give, give with a cheerful countenance, a cheerful heart. And dedicate thy tithes with gladness. And give unto the Most High according as he has enriched thee. The widow woman, she put in that little mite, just a fraction of a penny, but she gave. She gave from the heart, and it was huge before our Heavenly Father. She gave with cheerful countenance, willing. She wanted to help, and all she could give was a fraction of a penny. Jesus was there with his disciples when she did that, and he reminded his disciples of this, how important it is to give with a cheerful heart. And he continues here. And as thou hast gotten, give with a cheerful eye. For the Lord recompenseth and will give thee seven times as much. But we don't give for the reason that we'd get something back. No. No. We give from the abundance of the heart with a cheerful countenance. And that's in whatever that charity may be to one another. You beloved youth, one to another, and so on. And to our unbelieving neighbors, and to the work of God's kingdom. It's important. It's important lessons unto us, dear brothers and sisters. And so Jesus has given an example how we need to give. With good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. You know, the grain is going into the bin, and you shake that bushel basket, and all the grain's falling, and more's poured in, and that's the teaching of Jesus. That's how we act and interact with one another, our unbelieving loved ones and our unbelieving neighbors. It's as simple as that. And pray to God that He gives a cheerful confidence, a cheerful heart to do this. And that we wouldn't condemn and we wouldn't judge, but we would have mercy. You know, when you think of that teaching of Jesus, again from the Sermon on the Mount, seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all else shall be added unto you. So, where's the beginning point? What is Jesus teaching us? Often we attribute these words, you know, to those in unbelief. You know, it's important, dear brother, you unbelieving one, that you would seek God's kingdom. And what a precious admonition that is. But it pertains to us too, dear brothers and sisters. You boys and girls, how does it feel when you've been disobedient to your mom and dad? It doesn't feel good. But when you come to your mom and dad and ask for forgiveness, how does that feel when, you know, you little boys and girls, your sins are forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood? Doesn't it feel good? And you run off and go play. That's why Jesus so often gave us that example of a child, that we be as these little children. But you boys and girls, when you go to your mom and dad, you're seeking God's kingdom. That's how simple it is. It's not complicated. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. Everything else will be given unto us. Our Heavenly Father is such a rich Heavenly Father that there's no lack of anything. And He gladly blesses His own and even your unbelieving loved ones. And your unbelieving neighbors, our unbelieving neighbors. This exhortation, dear beloved youth, is also for you, you know, to seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. Absolutely, it's the most important aspect of your life. You know, when Satan has defeated you, sin has come, seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. All else shall be given unto you. Come boldly unto the throne of grace in time of need to obtain help. Boldly come. Oh, the flesh so many times, it drags itself before that grace altar. And that's our flesh and blood. And yet the Bible, the teaching of our Heavenly Father is so encouraging. Come boldly, dear brothers and sisters. There's grace and mercy and forgiveness for you no matter what. You young mothers and fathers, young and old, how's it been? Busy life. God has blessed with many children to most of us. Oftentimes tired and weary, and life is just a whirlwind of activity, and the temptations are so close. And oftentimes there's so many questions and there's confusion and what does God say? You know, Jeremiah writes of that in that 35th chapter of Isaiah. And he says in this way that and the highway shall be there and the way. And it shall be called the way of holiness. You know, I've encouraged the youth, you know, those precious youth that are just getting their independence and going off on their own, and they're flapping their wings, and I've reminded them to For the Bible reminds us to ponder the path of thy feet. And Jeremiah, when he reminded that, you know, when you come to those crossroads, and beloved youth, mothers and fathers, beloved children of God, we often come to those crossroads. And as Jeremiah said, stand there and look. Don't be hasty. Which way does one go? But there is one way, as Isaiah said. There's a highway there and a way, and it's the way of holiness. Go that way. Go that way. And it says here that it is for those, the wayfaring ones, men, wayfaring ones, and many of us, and it says, though fools, we shall not err therein. So many times we have such confusion and such questions. But when we go down that way of holiness, we're following those bloody footsteps of our Lord and Savior Jesus. That's where the redeemed walk. And it says, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Dear mothers and fathers, it pays to believe. Encourage those, your children. Preach the gospel. Bless them. And you boys and girls, today is Father's Day. And you know, I'm a father, and I have experienced in my life many times I've been tired and weary, and sin has attached, and oh, how good it has felt when one has approached, Dad, believe your sin's forgiven. And so, you children, go to your mom and dads and preach the gospel. We're always in need of the gospel, no matter how we try. The flesh is so corrupt. And you elders, I'm going to read a portion of the Psalms. You know, you've lived through times that you've come from a time where people feared God. There was shame for sin. People endeavored to do what was right and correct. There was not so much moral decay as there is today, and so much corruption in no matter where you go. And you've seen these changes come in your lifetime. And but the psalm writer has already pleaded to God on your behalf. It's in the 71st Psalm. I'm going to start from the 17th verse, and it says in this way, O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. You've taught your children, and you're teaching your grandchildren, and you're teaching the children in God's kingdom. And he says here, now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not. Yeah, the psalmist has already pleaded on our behalf. Oh God, forsake me not. You know, the shadows of the evening are drawing long. And yet, so oftentimes it's a battle. Now, also when I am old and gray-headed, oh God, forsake me not. Until I have shown thy strength unto this generation, and thy power to everyone that is to come. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. Who has done great things, O God? Who is like unto thee? Yes, dear brothers and sisters, it pays to believe, to cling to this gospel, and And what is the most encouraging message from our Lord and Savior Jesus? Son and daughter, he said, believe, all sins and doubts forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. This is the message from our Heavenly Father unto you. It pays to believe. I'm going to read a short portion here. It speaks of the fathers. It says here in the third chapter, again from the Ecclesiasticus, from the Apocrypha, whoso honoreth, third chapter, fifth verse, whoso honoreth his father shall have joy of his own children, and when he maketh his prayer, he shall be heard. He that honoreth his father shall have a long life, and he that is obedient unto the Lord shall be a comfort to his mother. Honor thy father and thy mother, both in word and deed, that a blessing may come upon thee from them. And then he reminds us now when our parents become aged and old, and he says here, my son, help thy father in his age, and grieve him not as long as he liveth. And if his understanding fail, have patience with him. And despise him not when thou art in full strength, for the relieving of thy father shall not be forgotten. In the day of thine affliction it shall be remembered, and thy sins also shall melt away as the ice in the fair warm weather. Oh, the incredible wisdom of our Heavenly Father. And yet, we here who are those redeemed of our Heavenly Father, pardoned sinners, yet we desire to endeavor on this way of holiness. And God has promised to us. That's what's so incredible. He's promised. It doesn't matter what happens in the world. You know, we don't need to be concerned about the black clouds that are in the horizon. The sinfulness of our people and the sinfulness of our leaders. And no, God. God, He continues to encourage us. No, He said, build homes and build houses, plant gardens, have children, give your daughters in marriage, have your son marry wives, and so on. And he goes on to say that what are the thoughts that I have toward you? And these are the words of God in that 29th chapter of Jeremiah. And what are the thoughts of God? And he continues and he says, thoughts of peace and not evil, not sorrow. And he continues, he says, and he desires unto you a future, and a future with hope. This is the kind of Heavenly Father we have. I ask you, beloved youth, does it pay to believe? Dear mothers and fathers, beloved elders, brothers and sisters, yes, it pays to believe. And I also need to hear this gospel that, can I believe my sins and doubts forgiven? Yeah, I certainly desire to plead with you. And also I ask one last time for your prayers. Remember us as we go forth, and that God would give words of utterance, and that even as the Apostle Paul, when he reminded the Ephesians of himself, that God would give him boldness to make known the mystery of our Lord. And that's the purpose. It's never been on any person, any speaker, brothers. It's been on the work of our Lord and Savior Jesus. And may He continue to bless this work. And so I ask for your prayers also. Believe, boys and girls, beloved youth, dear children, mothers and fathers and elders and everyone, all sins and doubts forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. Cling to this. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.